Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live. Coming at you after a 6-3 Rangers victory over the Cardinals in St. Louis. Perfectly timed win, if you ask me, right before the trade deadline. The last game before the trade deadline for the Rangers. Of course, the trade deadline ending tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon. Rangers will play tomorrow evening again in St. Louis. We're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. Want to say what's up to everybody tuning in live. Also on the replay, if maybe this one was a little late for you. A lot going on for me today and tonight, but wanted to make sure I popped on before the evening was over. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. And this is one of the most tense times in the baseball season, if you ask me. The trade deadline. The trade deadline is tomorrow again, I think 5 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Texas Time, if I'm not mistaken. Rangers made some moves today. We're going to get into it. We're going to break them down. A couple of trades, I think one this morning, the Lorenzen trade. They made a trade for a catcher last night, Carson Kelly from the Tigers. We'll talk about that trade and how it's all going to be working together, and we'll also discuss and throw out some possibilities that may still be coming tomorrow. Who knows what this Rangers win tonight did in the minds of Chris Young in the front office. I have my ideas, and you're welcome to throw yours into the pot as well. If you got something to share, you got something you want to get off your chest, put in the comment section. If you got a question, something you want to throw out there for the whole group, put it in the chat. We'll get to it 100%. Let me check comments right now as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you, bud. And let me keep going here. Natalie, what's up? Offense with a decent game. Hey, they score more than four runs. Things usually go pretty well for the Rangers. I think we determined that. Score four or more and your chances of winning improve dramatically. The Rangers score six tonight. Not a shocker that they win this ball game. Eric, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Tough night for the Mariners against the Red Sox tonight. This AL West race is getting tighter and tighter. Right now, the Rangers now down 3.5 games to the Astros and to the Mariners, I believe. Astros technically have a 1,000th of a percentage point advantage on the Rangers, on the Mariners. So both lead the Rangers by 3.5 games now. Of course, the Astros lost on a heartbreaking 3-run bomb off Josh Hader in the top of the 9th inning. Pittsburgh beating Houston 5-3. Game was tied 2-2 going into the 9th. Paul Skeens started the game for Pittsburgh. Tie game in the top of the 9th. And Josh Hader comes in and gives up the game losing 3-run home run. We're going to ponder on that Josh Hader scenario, that Josh Hader situation. As a lot of the hardcore Rangers fans know, Josh Hader was a big target coming into the offseason for the Rangers. I think we got to be feeling pretty good about Chris Young and his ability to say no when it's needed, right? To go out and get somebody when it's needed. Saying no and passing on Josh Hader, I think, was a huge decision when it happened. And I think looking back, we can see Chris Young had it right. Chris Young had it right. Josh Hader has been very good this season in certain moments. A lot of strikeouts, but tell you what, he's definitely blown more saves than Kirby Yates, lost more games than Kirby Yates this year. So, look, Astros lose, Rangers win. It's a great night to be a Texas fan. Great night to be a Texas fan. And the AL West is going to be fun down the stretch. I think every team is going to be buying. The Astros made a trade today that I was pretty unimpressed with, actually pretty happy with. I think the Astros lost that trade for sure. If you didn't hear, Astros traded for Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Yusei Kikuchi. The Rangers actually played on Friday night. I believe Kikuchi started against the Rangers. Don't think the Rangers had very much trouble with him at all. If anything, it was an off night for the Rangers pitching on that Friday night, last Friday night in Toronto. The Kikuchi move that the Astros just made doesn't bother me in the slightest. Bring it on. I don't think the Rangers have a lot of trouble or are going to have a lot of trouble if they would have to face Kikuchi in the postseason. And it looks like the Astros gave up some pretty decent prospects for him. So we've talked about the Astros. We're not going to go on and on because this is Right on Rangers after all. But The Astros have an incredibly gutted farm system as it is, and they just gutted it even more to get maybe a slightly above average pitcher. I don't know. Does anybody in here think Kikuchi is an ace? I sure don't. Facing him on Friday night in Toronto, I was totally unfazed, and the Rangers bats were as well. I think we put up 4 or 5 runs against him, and we could have easily had more. We wasted several opportunities against Kikuchi on Friday night in Toronto. It could have been 6, 7 earned runs against him. So I'm not worried in the slightest about what the Astros did today. In fact, I think if you're a Rangers fan or a Mariners fan, Eric, you got to love it because they gave up 3 guys that were pretty good prospects, in my opinion. I'm not a prospect or a Baseball America savant, but I will say this. I do know some of the top names in each system, and I was surprised to see what the Astros gave away to get Kikuchi. I thought that they definitely probably gave a little bit too much, but they're desperate for arms right now. They've had some injuries, got to go after it sometimes and overpay a little bit, but it just goes to my point that I made to y'all so often, which is the Astros window is closing quickly. It's closing very, very quickly. Justin Verlander getting older. Altuve, what is he, early 30s, mid-30s? Still going to probably be a productive bat for a while. You've got Kyle Tucker free agency coming up. You've got Bregman free agency coming up. Their window is closing soon. It's not going to be open forever. The farm system's gutted, and they continue to gut it year after year. Last year they did it. If you remember, they went and got Justin Verlander like we got Max Scherzer, and we ended up beating them. They gutted their farm system to go get those guys. I really feel like the Astros, the trade today, nothing special. Kikuchi, we just faced him on Friday, nothing special. I don't really feel any fear with that addition. In fact, I think the Astros gave away way too much. Enough about the Astros, though. Eric, that's pretty funny. I don't have a ton of friends that are Astros fans. I grew up in the DFW area, so I can't say I've got my pulse on Astros Nation, but I know I can't be completely objective, but I'll try to be. I just think the Astros overpaid. And it makes sense because, like I said, the Astros window's closing a lot quicker than the Rangers window's closing. Farm system completely gutted. And the Rangers farm system, in comparison to what the Astros is right now, let's just say there's not a comparison. There's no comparison. Rangers are set up extremely well for the future. Seager, Semien locking it down. I feel very, very good about where the Rangers are at for 2025 and beyond. Now, let's keep going here. We have a lot to go through today. I'm going to take all your guys' comments. So if you got something you want to ask, throw out there, get off your chest, whatever it is. You got a hot take, I'd love to hear it. I'm going to try and go through all the comments tonight. So let's start with this. First of all, the win tonight, much needed, and it happened to coincide with an Astros and a Mariners loss. So we gain a game in the division. I do think 3.5 out at the trade deadline. I think you can work with that. Rangers made a ton of moves today. I don't know if you caught them all, but I'm going to try and recap them off the top of my head. So first of all, Rangers did release a couple of guys, one DFA, one release, Davis Wenzel DFA'd, Austin Pruitt released. Rangers activated Josh Jung, and they activated Cody Bradford as well. So those guys are ready to come back, and I think Josh Jung is going to be in the lineup tomorrow. Cody Bradford's going to be coming out of the bullpen. The Rangers also optioned Andrew Kisner. They optioned Ornelas, and I believe they also optioned Foscue. Rangers made a ton of moves. They added a catcher, and that's why Kisner, of course, is going to be going down to AAA. So Rangers starting to make some moves. Mike Lorenzen was traded. Carson Kelly, by the way, the catcher that was added. Pretty crazy on Carson Kelly if you didn't hear about him. So his OPS is in the mid-700s. And Carson Kelly, just putting his stats on our team right now, would have the 4th highest OPS on the team. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing when you say it out loud, that Carson Kelly, the catcher that we just acquired from the Tigers, would have the 4th highest OPS on the team had he been playing with us the whole year. That's pretty wild. I mean, kind of ridiculous. Tells you a lot about where the offense has been or not been, I should say, all season long. So I'm interested to see what they do with Carson Kelly. I think, obviously, he's now become the guy that is going to be spelling Jonah Heim. I don't think that Jonah Heim is going to be ceding a ton of catching opportunities to Carson Kelly. I do think Kelly may be a guy that we do use as a DH. We use as a guy to give Jonah a break. I don't know if Kelly is going to be an everyday player at this point. Maybe. I haven't heard CY or Bochy really go on about Kelly and what his exact role on the team is going to be. But I think for a lot of Rangers fans, the Carson Kelly move is welcome because a lot of us were frustrated, myself included, with Andrew Kisner, with the effort we were getting from him. So I really think that the Carson Kelly move was the right decision. Gives the Rangers a little bit of pop in the lineup. You've got an upgrade at the backup catcher position. I will say this, and we're not going to get into this today unless y'all really want to, but I do kind of feel like Jonah Heim's days in Texas are slightly numbered. I really can't see us giving Jonah a big-time contract to stick around. I think we've got a couple more years with him. We just drafted a catcher in the first round. I don't know if Jonah Heim is going to be around long-term in Texas. Just kind of seeing the writing on the wall with all the moves the Rangers have made. I just don't think that Jonah's going to be a Ranger for life. Would love to be wrong. I really do love Jonah Heim. Gold Glove catcher. Had a great season, an all-star season last year. But you draft a catcher in the first round of a draft, I think the writing's kind of on the wall for you if that happens to be your position too at the big league level. So Carson Kelly, I like the addition, and it doesn't seem like the prospects we gave away are extremely consequential. The Mike Lorenzen deal, I also think the Rangers did quite well in that. So in the Lorenzen deal, pretty much a player-for-player swap. So Lorenzen this morning announced that he was traded, and the Rangers, in return for that, are going to be acquiring a AAA player for the Kansas City Royals. And I believe, name is eluding me, Pennington, that's right. Pennington, by the way, in what, 59, almost 60 innings at AAA Omaha. Pennington, the prospect that the Rangers acquired from Mike Lorenzen, has a 2.26 ERA, a lefty. The strikeout numbers are high. I really like Pennington. I watched some highlights, some clips of him just on MLB video search. Walter Pennington, full name, by the way. I think the Rangers did well to get Pennington. You need guys right now that are going to be helpful either maybe this year, for sure next year, because we've talked about this at Right on Rangers probably once a week. The Rangers are going to be more competitive next year than they are this year. And I felt that coming into the season. You got a full season with DeGrom next year. You got a full season with Josh Jung. He's been injured most of the season. You're going to have Evo back. I can't imagine Evo leaving. He may opt out of the player option. He might not exercise it, but I think Evo really likes it here. I can't see us getting rid of Evo or letting him walk if he doesn't exercise the player option. I think the Rangers have an extremely good chance of being competitive. Like I said, I think the Astros window is closing. A lot of their core getting a little bit older and or free agency approaching. Kyle Tucker comes to mind. We'll see what happens, but 2025 is going to be a good year for the Rangers. So I think Pennington is a guy that can help us next year. Right now, only lefties you really have under control for next year is Lats and maybe Brock Burke. I don't think anybody, any Rangers fan should feel awesome about that combination for left-handed pitching out of the pen. So Pennington, a guy that can get strikeouts, likes to paint the corners, low 90s fastball, but he's a guy that can control the pitches, control the zone. I like the Walter Pennington addition. What better were you going to get from Mike Lorenzen than a guy like Walter Pennington? I was extremely pleasantly surprised when I saw the stats on Pennington, the 2.26 ERA in 60 innings. I mean, at the AAA level, that is a guy that you definitely could probably think about calling up in September, no doubt, when the rosters expand. I love the Pennington move. Going to miss Mike Lorenzen. He did exactly what we needed him to do. Mike Lorenzen was signed with the idea that Malley, DeGrom were going to be out until the second half. We needed Mike Lorenzen to eat up innings and give us some competitive innings at that, and I think he did more than enough. Wasn't particularly good the second half of the first half of the season, if that makes sense, but Pennington, I think, is a great addition, a guy that you're happy with, especially with, again, Mike Lorenzen's poor showings last 5, 6, 7 outings. I know he really, really just gutted out a relief appearance yesterday, 4 innings. That was incredible. A lot of guys in the clubhouse talked about how great of a teammate Mike Lorenzen is, was. And so I think Mike Lorenzen is definitely going to be missed in the clubhouse. And I think as Rangers fans, we can all appreciate what he did for our pitching staff, held it down most of the games Mike Lorenzen pitched. He gave us a chance to win regardless of how the offense was playing. So got to give some respect and flowers to Mike Lorenzen on his way out of Arlington, going to Kansas City. I'm glad that he's going to another team that has a shot at the playoffs. Can't be mad at that. I mean, these guys who are in their mid-30s, early 30s, upper 30s on these one-year deals, they full well know when you sign that one-year deal, you are potentially going to get traded depending on how the season goes. So don't know how upfront CY and everybody was. It really doesn't matter. You sign a one-year deal, you know that it's a possibility. I'm just glad Lorenzen gets to go to a contending team that has a shot at the postseason. Good for him. Good for him. So those are the two trades. We talked about all the transactions. Let me really lock into the comments here now, y'all. So Ty, what's up, bud? If you're still listening, appreciate you. Still there. He says, should we add another bat or should we keep the same lineup? And by the way, the Rangers mixed the lineup up a little bit today. We're going to get through that. There's a ton to go through, especially as the trade deadline approaches, y'all. I'm going to do my best, like I said, to get through it. But Ty, appreciate the comment. But I do think of another bat is going to be added. I really don't know why you would add Carson Kelly, who is a rental. I don't know if I covered that. Carson Kelly's a rental. We don't have Carson Kelly beyond this season. He's 2024 only. So my thing was, why would you go get a rental catcher if you weren't planning on buying anything else? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So Andrew Kisner, for as much maligned as he's been with Rangers fans at times, I think you very easily, if you were just content on, you know, riding it out, or if you thought as the front office, maybe this isn't going to be our year, I don't know why you wouldn't have just rode it out with Kisner. So the fact that they bought a rental backup catcher, you know what I mean by bought, the fact that they went out and traded for one shows me that they're probably going to be buying more. And I hope that it is a controllable outfielder, if at all possible. I think with the Evan Carter news, and y'all, I'm not trying to, like, when I say this next thing, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I told y'all the Evan Carter injury was going to probably be something that lasted the entire season. And Evan Carter was moved to the 60-day IL today. Back injuries, y'all, at a 21-year-old with multiple back injuries. I mean, I love EC. I love Evan Carter. I think he's a great guy. I really, really am grateful for what he did for us last September and October. But look, those back injuries, they do not play. And it is not shocking to me when they said that they were going to shut him down. I know that there were some reports. Yeah, he's still on schedule, blah, blah, blah. Look, I personally thought to myself, he's not coming back till September at the earliest when they decided to shoot him down. I really did not think anything of him coming back in August or sooner. So it looks like unless we make the playoffs, he's probably out for the season. So I would like to see us add another outfielder. Personally, I don't want to roll with Langford, Leody, Adolis the rest of the way. I'd like to see maybe Langford move to center and maybe we go get a left fielder, a controllable left fielder. I think Luis Robert, maybe we're still in on him. I think that could be a natural fit. The only thing I don't like about Robert is the strikeouts. Strikes out a lot. I love the speed. I love the power. I love that he's controllable for a number of years. I don't know if the Rangers are in on him or not. I haven't heard anything, but I would like to get a guy like Luis Robert, a type like that. A few other crazy trades definitely going on around the league. We're going to cover some of them. I see some of y'all on TikTok talking about the Frankie Montes trade. Absolutely. I see some of y'all talking about Soler getting reunited with the Braves. So, look, a lot of intriguing trades. Brewers, by the way, were the ones that dealt for Frankie Montes. The Dodgers added Kopech and Edmund, kind of a three-team deal. A number of different trades. Dodgers also got Rosario, Fetty, and Pham. So, guys that we just played last week, Fetty, starting pitcher for the White Sox. Tommy Pham, outfielder for the White Sox, get traded to the Cardinals. Three-team deal, Cardinals, Dodgers, White Sox. Lot of trades. Dodgers are going for it, man. When I'm seeing all these Dodgers notifications coming across my phone, I'm like, they have all the money in the world, and I guess they just have all the prospects in the world, too. It must be nice. Dodgers are just crazy with the free agent signings, but also the trades. I mean, geez. Mariners picked up Justin Turner, I saw. That could be a nice little move. I still say that doesn't move the needle crazy. Now, 3-4 years ago, Justin Turner? Absolutely. I don't know if right now I think Randy Arozarena, Justin Turner really moved the needle a ton for Seattle. So we'll see. I'm not impressed. Really, the Arozarena trade, I think, was good for the Mariners. I still say, don't think he puts them over the top in the AL West. I think the Rangers, when fully healthy, still have the most talented roster in the AL West, and it looks like they're going to be adding. Looks like there's going to be some kind of deal made tomorrow. Again, no idea why you would go out and get a rental backup catcher if you weren't planning on buying a little bit more. So let me keep going with the comments here, y'all. Thanks for pouring them in. I appreciate you guys a lot. Tristan says, we need a win. We need to just keep winning. But right now, I do think with the way it all worked out, with the Astros Mariners losing tonight, you have the Rangers winning tonight, 3.5 games out. You got, 55 games left. That's plenty of games to make up 3.5. You've got 7 games left with the Mariners this season. You've got 3 games or 4 games left with the Astros. Your destiny is very much in your hands at this point. It's not easy to sweep an AL West rival, but the Rangers have those opportunities coming up to gain serious ground, playing the Astros after the Red Sox series, playing the Mariners a couple of different times down the final stretch of the season. So I do think the win today probably solidified the Rangers being buyers at the deadline. Scott, what's up, my guy? Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you, bud. Scott's one of my really, really great friends from back in Arlington. Went to college together, one of my best buddies. Thanks for tuning in, bud. Appreciate you. Evo, clutch. Evo, absolutely clutch tonight. We needed this win. Started off a little shaky, gave up the 2-run bomb. But I will say, he settled in nicely. After that Matt Carpenter 2-run bomb, Evo really did pitch an outstanding game. And it's really what we've gotten from Evo all season. I know he had a rough start against Baltimore. If I'm being a little nitpicky with Evo, I'm a little concerned about the home run ball and how many homers he's been giving up. I'd have to look at the numbers, but that is one thing that concerns me a little bit about Evo. It does feel like more often than not, like 8 or 9 times out of 10, the Rangers are winning a Nate Eovaldi start. That's just the feel. I'm not saying that the stats back that up, but I am saying anytime that guy's out there, I feel like the Rangers have a very solid chance of winning a ball game, and most of the time they do. Natalie says, and I'm reading these, by the way, for everybody that's listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I know there's a number of people that tune in that way as well. So read this one out loud, and I'll keep reading them to y'all. This comment says, should Smith play left and move Wyatt to center? I don't think they're probably going to end up doing that, only because I think they're going to add an outfielder. I really would be shocked if they didn't add an outfielder with the news that Evan Carter is going to be out for pretty much the entire season at this point. I don't know why you wouldn't go get one. I don't think that the front office, that CY, want to have Leody be the guy the rest of the way. And I know they've been toying around with Robbie Grossman out there, but let's be honest, we all love Robbie, but we don't want to see Robbie every single day. I know I don't. That's not a winning recipe, in my opinion, as much as I really appreciate and I'm grateful for the player that Robbie Grossman is. I don't think you want Robbie Leody platoon the rest of the way. The reality is Leody had a home run off Justin Verlander in the Astros series, but then went 0 for 15 in the World Series. Leody, by and large, did not have an outstanding postseason at the plate. He had his moments, but by and large, it was not overly impressive. I would think that CY would want to upgrade the outfield position, have 3 set outfielders. You maybe move Langford to center field with his speed and range. You keep Dolley in right, and then you add a left fielder, a corner outfielder that can add a little bit of a boost to your lineup. I mean, right now, let's face the facts. Leody not hitting super great. I don't know what the stats were tonight off the top of my head. He was 1 for 4, I believe, did have an RBI. But look, not hitting well over his last 15 games. So I don't think that the Rangers want to roll with Leody the rest of the way. I don't have any sources inside the Rangers front office, but I just can't imagine that that's what they're wanting to do. Leody has had his hot moments and streaks in the season, but we know how this goes with Leody. He hits 300 for 2 weeks, and then he hits 100 for about 2 or 3 weeks. So I personally would love to see an outfielder added. I don't think Josh Smith is going to be playing a whole lot of outfield this year. I see him, again, being kind of super utility guy, being a little bit of DH. Zeke Duran called back up, by the way, hit 5 homers in his last 6 games down at AAA. Honestly, I'm really surprised that the Rangers aren't going to be selling Zeke Duran at the deadline. Maybe they still will, but I feel like the call-up today kind of signaled that they're not. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Zeke Duran is blocked at every major league position. Now that you've got Josh Jung back, where are you going to play Zeke Duran? Like, where is he going to play? I mean, I guess if you don't add an outfielder, maybe you throw him out there, but he didn't look super comfortable when we had him play outfield earlier in the season. I can remember a few different fly balls that he just looked lost on. I don't really love Zeke Duran in the outfield. He's got a cannon for an arm. I really thought this was going to be the deadline where he gets traded. He was sitting over 300 last year towards the deadline. We held on to him. But again, where is he going to play now that you've got Josh Jung back and Josh Smith? With him emerging, you're going to be keeping Josh Smith in. Josh Smith and Zeke Duran are the same type of player in that they play infield positions and they're kind of super utility guys, right? So if you got Josh Smith, why do you need Zeke Duran? I mean, unless you just want Zeke Duran riding the pine, which I don't know. If you can get something for Zeke Duran, I probably would. If you can get a big bat, a controllable bat, and throw Zeke Duran in the pot, why wouldn't you? Maybe it's possible that they still sell Duran at the deadline to get that bat that we're talking about. I don't know. It seemed kind of like a weird move for them to call him up if they were planning on trading him. But Zeke Duran goes 1-for-4 tonight, had a little bloop single, didn't score anybody. They were kind of being a little bit cautious on the base paths. There was less than 2 outs. Maybe they could have ended up sending. I think Wyatt Langford was on second, got a little bit of a bad jump. But look, Zeke Duran gets a hit in his return to the lineup. Jonah Heim, 2-for-4 tonight with an RBI. Love to see that. So Zeke Duran, a little bit puzzling to me. I'm curious to see what they do with him, but I can't imagine he's going to be getting a lot of playing time now that Josh Jung is back, and you've kind of got to move Josh Smith into that super utility DH role. So we'll see. Tomorrow is going to be an exciting, intriguing, nail-biting time to be a Rangers fan with the trade deadline. I really don't think the Rangers are going to be selling off a whole lot more. I just don't know. With the win tonight, I don't feel like you get rid of Heaney. If you would have lost tonight, I don't know. With the Astros losing, maybe you're 4.5 out and you still say, you know, let's just go for it, whatever. But I don't know. I can't see them trading Heaney 3.5 games out with 55 games left. Could you still sell Urania? Possibly. I don't know. I'm not sure if the Rangers are done selling or not. If they do sell, I would think it would probably be another starting pitcher, maybe Zeke Duran. We'll see what happens. Gio, what's up? I know it's been a while, my friend. Thanks for being patient with me. But Gio says, go Rangers. Great win. Indeed. Great win. So look, over the last 8 days, Rangers went 5-3. When you put it like that, it doesn't sound that bad. The sweep in Toronto absolutely sucked. The sweep in Toronto sucked. But look, 5-3 over the last 8 games, I think you have to live with that. If you're a Rangers fan, you need to win 60%, 67% of your games. Look, that works, right? 5 out of 8 games, I think you can work with that. That's almost a 63% winning clip. That's going to get it done. So I really feel like when you look at it from that perspective, you zoom out a little bit, Rangers 5-3 over their last 8 games, that'll work. Now, hopefully they can win this series in St. Louis. You've won the first game. And I've said this over and over. When you win that first game, it's so huge because now you just have 1 win to get and you've got 2 opportunities to do it. I know it's simple math. This isn't groundbreaking stuff. But when you win that first game, it's just such a big edge, especially when it's a 3-game series. So I really feel like tomorrow you got Scherzer pitching, if I'm not mistaken. Let's get that series win tomorrow. And then let's play with some house money on Wednesday before the off day on Thursday. And we head back home for a big series against the Red Sox and the Astros. That's going to be a fun homestand, y'all. I hope all my people out there that are living in Texas right now, get your butt to Globe Life for one of those games, man. Red Sox, Astros, pivotal point in the season. If you can, get out there to a game. This is probably, I would think, the best homestand if you're just talking about the brands going at it, the rivalries. Not that Red Sox-Rangers is a huge rivalry, but the Red Sox are a good team vying for a wild card spot. Rangers are probably on the outside looking in for the wild card, but I think this is the best homestand of the season coming up. Rangers fans, get out there. Let's pack Globe Life Field. If I lived in Arlington, I'd surely be at one of these next 6-7 games coming up. It's going to be fun. I really hope Rangers can get a series win in St. Louis, then get on a flight, happy flight, back to Arlington. Thursday off day, recharge the batteries. It's been a little bit of a grind since the All-Star break, but Friday night, come back strong against the Red Sox and then get into that Astros series, gain some ground, maybe take over first in the division. We just got to speak all this into existence right now, y'all. We just got to get it out there and manifest it. All right, let me keep going. Comments. It says here, I still think Langford is going to be here for a while, but who will be with him in the outfield? So Dolie is controllable for one more year. I don't think the Rangers are going to give him a contract. I'd be shocked if Dolie gets another contract beyond the one that he got before this season started, the two-year deal. It would really surprise me. I know some people really love Dolie, and it's a sensitive topic, but Dolie is 31 years old. He's going to be 33 at the end of this contract. That's just not a kind of guy you give a big deal to. And I can guarantee you Adolis Garcia is going to want to maximize this free agency window. I don't think he's going to be given a hometown discount to the Rangers. So it would really shock me if we have Dolie longer than 2025. I think this year and next year, and then who knows. I think Evan Carter, I still think the plan is for Carter to come back in 2025, maybe at the very end of the season, and go side by side with Wyatt out there, center field, Evan Carter, left field, Wyatt Langford, or whatever the case may be. I don't think Wyatt Langford has the arm to be a right fielder. So we'll see what happens. I do think it's going to be EC, Wyatt Langford, and then we'll see who they decide to go with. We'll see who they acquire at this trade deadline. I do think that it's pretty likely that whoever they acquire at this deadline is kind of going to be the guy for the future. So you've got Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, you've got Dolie for at least next year, but then you've got probably this fourth outfielder that might get acquired at the deadline. We'll see. Let me keep going. Ty says, when DeGrom gets back, do you think we'll become a serious World Series contender or just a playoff team? I would say this. It is so hard for me, y'all said, I'm going to be totally transparent. It's hard for me to be completely unbiased when I'm talking about the team that I have loved for years, for decades, but I think the Rangers have a very, very talented team. And let's just say, because I know that a lot of people knock on Jacob DeGrom and the health injury prone, and I know a lot of Rangers fans have kind of written off DeGrom a little bit. I shouldn't say a lot, but I definitely know some that have written off DeGrom. He's never going to be healthy. You can't count on him, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say, though, DeGrom is healthy the rest of the season, playoffs included. Evo, same thing. Is there a better 1-2 punch out there than Jacob DeGrom at the top of his game and Nate Eovaldi at the top of his? What's the better 1-2 punch in the American League out there? Look, for all the talent that the Orioles have, what's their 1-2 punch? They've got Corbin Burnes. That's a great one. I don't know what the two is, and I don't think it's better than Evo. If DeGrom is your number one, or you go DeGrom number two, Evo number one. So, look, you go to the Yankees. Gerrit Cole, he's been a little bit shaky. And then they've got Nestor. I don't know if I would say Nestor by any means is better than Evo or DeGrom. Guys, we're just going up and down here. Houston, do you like their 1-2 better than our 1-2? I don't think so. I'd rather have DeGrom and Evo than Verlander and Blanco. I think that's their 1-2 at this point for the playoffs. I'd rather have Evo and DeGrom. I think the Rangers have the best 1-2 pitching punch in the American League. I don't think that that's a biased statement. I think you could be pretty objective and say, yeah, you look at Evo's postseason history, right? And how nails that dude is in the postseason. Because some guys are great regular season, then they're terrible postseason. Evo is outstanding in the postseason. DeGrom, I don't think, has a ton of postseason experience. But I will say, I like the DeGrom, Evo 1-2 punch. Throw Scherzer in the mix. Look, Scherzer can still be a great pitcher. No, he's not going to be as dominant as he once was, but Scherzer can still be great. I don't know. I like our chances, Ty. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, we're repeating 1,000%. Look, the Rangers aren't even in the playoffs right now if the season ended today. I don't know if I can say World Series repeat coming. I do think the Rangers make the playoffs. If you had to make me bet on it today, I'm betting, yes, the Rangers make the playoffs. They pull it together. Everybody gets healthy. They go on a run, and they make the playoffs. They sneak in one way or another. I think that's what's going to happen. Gio says, tomorrow someone different will catch Max Scherzer. Rangers are 6-3 in the last 9 games. Beautiful. Great stat. I love it. 67% winning clip, y'all. That's what we've been talking about. Win 60 to 67%. That range is money. So the Rangers are doing that right now. And that's really all you need to do the rest of the way. And it'll take care of itself. That's why you can't get too high, too low. It's hard. If you love the Rangers, after some of these losses, you are just ready to totally give up and sell off the entire team. I felt that way before. I got to take a breather, settle down, and then get on the live and talk it out with y'all. But we all have our moments of despair following the Texas Rangers. And that's been that way forever. For as long as some of y'all have been Rangers fans. Some of y'all maybe longer than me. But I will say this. I do think the Rangers get back on track. And I do think if they keep winning at this 6-3 clip, to use Gio's comment, I think they're going to be just fine. And just try not to get too high or too low from game to game. Unless they're playing the Astros, of course. Then get high after every single game and totally run with it and make it the biggest deal ever, because that's what I'll be doing on the live after the Rangers sweep the Astros in about a week's time here. That would sure be nice. Like I said, let's put it out there. And I think right now, as it's all unfolding, the Rangers do have a tough month of August, but I think they might just surprise some people around baseball. I really do. Let me keep going here. Trade Scherzer is the comment. Going to be tough if they did want to trade Max. He would have to approve it. And Max already came out and said publicly that he really doesn't want to get traded, and he feels confident that this team can win. So I think this is pretty unlikely. If I had to guess, I would say less than 10% chance Max Scherzer gets traded. Whether you're a fan of the move or not, I just don't think it's going to happen at this point. All right, y'all. Let's talk this new look lineup today. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people talking about it on Facebook groups and message boards after the game. Marcus Semien moving to the 3 spot. Basically, they did a Smith-Semi swap. Josh Smith leading off today. Man, he loved the leadoff spot. 2-for-4, Josh Smith from the 1 spot in the order. Semi went 1-for-5 with a run scored. I kind of liked it. I think we talked about, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure we talked about Semi would probably be all right moving down a little bit in the order, maybe protecting Seager. And we just talked about how Josh Smith is probably more of a leadoff or 2-hole hitter than a 3-hole hitter. So I really love the move. I know some people are probably pulling their hair out, like Bochy keeps messing with this lineup. What are we doing? Look, you got to mix it up when the offense isn't performing to its potential. There's nothing wrong with that. What's it going to hurt? This offense is already struggling this year and still hasn't hit their stride. So what does it matter if you mix up the lineup a little bit and it got a win? So hate it or love it, we won the game, and Bochy looks pretty good moving Josh Smith to the leadoff spot, moving Semi to the 3 spot. I think Marcus Semien protecting Corey Seager is the move. Marcus Semien has 40 home run potential. Is he doing it on a consistent basis so far with the Rangers? No, but 2-3 years ago with the Blue Jays, Semi dropped 40-plus bombs. Like, that dude has pop. He hits the ball hard. He's an aggressive hitter up there. Teams will respect Marcus Semien, Silver Slugger winner. I really think moving Josh Smith up to the 1 spot and making Semi the 3-hole to protect Corey Seager, now you got to pitch around Seager to get to Semien. I think you think twice about that. As much as we love Josh Smith here in Rangers Nation, I don't think a lot of other teams really fear Josh Smith that much. And look, to be honest, I'd much rather pitch to Josh Smith than Corey Seager. I can't say I'd much rather pitch to Marcus Semien than Corey Seager. I mean, I'd rather pitch to Semi than Seager, don't get me wrong. But I'm still sitting there thinking to myself, do I really want to put Seager on for a guy that has 30-plus home run potential and is a really, really established great hitter in this league in Marcus Semien? I think teams are thinking twice about that. I think you're maybe trying to get Seager out, depending on the matchup. You're a little more inclined to do that versus, hey, you got a guy that's having a great year but hasn't been doing it his entire career. Literally, this is Josh Smith's best season as a big leaguer, and it's like his second year in the league, third year in the league. Of course you're going to pitch to Josh Smith over Corey Seager. I also like, personally, now you can't load up on lefties. You can't load up on a, you know what I mean? Like, you can't bring in a lefty pitcher. Oh, they got Seager, they got Josh Smith, the double lefty back-to-back. Now you've got a little bit of a lefty, righty, lefty, righty. You got a little bit of an opposite-handedness going on in the lineup. I know you lead off with two lefties in Josh Smith and Seager, but I just kind of like it as you get into the heart of the order. So I really feel like this is the good move. This is the right move for the Rangers right now. It can't hurt. The offense did not play well up in Toronto. Sometimes you need to get a little spark going. I can't imagine Simi is crying in his beer over moving down to the three spot. Like, I really can't imagine that. Like, dude, three spot, very respected position in a lineup. Yes, Marcus has been hitting one for a long time, almost his entire career with the Texas Rangers. But I will say, I will say three, how can he be upset at that? How can he be upset at it? Let me keep going here. I'm going to go down the box score. I'll just keep checking comments here and there. Smith, one hole was money. Absolutely. No denying it. They won the game. They scored six runs. We know they score more than four. A win is very likely. The Rangers score more than four runs, and a win is probable. Ty says, why is Adolis scorching hot or freezing cold at the plate? A lot of Rangers hitters are just streaky as all get out. Doley, Leody, Zeke Duran, Marcus Semien can be streaky. There's a lot of streaky hitters in this lineup, and it's a big reason we won the World Series. We had our streaky hitters get hot at the right time, and it all worked out. But we have a lot of guys that are streaky, and I do think CY is trying to build a team that can be a little bit more consistent at the plate. But it's hard. A lot of streaky hitters in this lineup. Let me go to TikTok here and let me check out a few comments. I'm going to try and go through. Somebody asked me on TikTok if I'm happy that Wenzel is gone. Look, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal with Wenzel. But yes, I don't think Wenzel was going to be a guy that you are going to have be a contributor at the big league level, like, ever. Wenzel is an infielder, and he was blocked at every position. It's the same thing with Zeke Duran. What are you going to do with Duran? He's blocked everywhere. Simi, Siegs, Josh Young, Josh Smith. Are you playing Zeke Duran? Are you playing Wenzel over Josh Smith or any of those guys? No. And Wenzel was hitting .150, .125, .175, whatever it was. So, yeah, not at all upset that Wenzel is not around. Nothing personal against the guy. But, yeah, I can't say I'm unhappy about that at all. Let me keep going. I'm going to try and scroll through. Some people asking about the trade deadline. I've kind of covered that. Sweet. Let me keep going all the way down to the bottom now. Do I have any picks that I like for the Rangers game for tomorrow? Well, the Rangers to win. Like, of course. Now, let me look and see who is in the lineup and who has fared against the Cardinals. Starting pitcher for tomorrow, I'm not 100% sure who the Cardinals are throwing. Once I look at the lineup and just how they have looked against the Cardinals starter, I can probably give you guys a little bit more of who I think is going to have a good game tomorrow, if you like to do like the individual player props and stuff like that. So looking tomorrow, we are going to be facing Lance Lynn. How about that? Former Texas Ranger Lance Lynn on the bump for the Cardinals tomorrow. That's going to be fun. Lance Lynn, a fastball pitcher. What's been the Rangers' kryptonite? The fastball. Hopefully they can catch up to Lance Lynn. It's not like he's a 99-100 guy. He's kind of low to mid-90s. I hope the Rangers come with aggressiveness. I think that is the way that you beat Lance Lynn, and I think the Rangers have a good approach to do it. There are a few guys that have a lot of ABs. Marcus Semien has 25 ABs against Lance Lynn. He's hitting .320 with a home run and three RBI. Robbie Grossman, I don't think he's probably going to play tomorrow. Maybe he will, but Lance Lynn being a righty, I don't know if I can see it. Robbie is .276 average against Lance Lynn in 29 ABs. We've got Nate Lowe, 2-for-6 against Lynn. Beyond that, Corey Seager, surprisingly, 0 for 6. Leody, 0 for 3. Kelly, our newly acquired catcher, 0 for 4. Jonah Heim, 0 for 5. Dolly, 0 for 2. So, look, if you like player props, y'all asking me about picks for tomorrow. If you like player props, look at Marcus Semien. See what the total bases are. Maybe Marcus Semien to get a hit. I think I would probably lock in on Simi for tomorrow. He was 1 for 5 today. I think that would be my choice if you're going individual player props. Take the Rangers on the money line. That's what I do every day. Y'all know my challenge, betting 1 cent on Texas Rangers money line for every follower that I have. So if you're not following, you're not subscribed to the account, the channel, do so right now. Help me out with my challenge. Let's see how big this bet can get before game 162. So that's what I would do for picks for tomorrow. Rangers to win, Marcus Semien, look at hits, look at total bases. He seems to fare pretty well against Lance Lynn, 930 OPS. Again, has a home run, 320 average and 25 ABs. Hits up at the top of the order, plenty of at-bats to go around in a game. Look for Semi tomorrow. That's what I got. Grayson, what's up, my guy? Appreciate you. And thank you so much for the comment as well. Thanks for choosing Right on Rangers. A lot of content out there. Appreciate y'all tuning in, everybody, right now, whether you're watching live or if you're catching this on the replay, maybe on Wednesday morning. What? I almost lost track of days. Monday night, Tuesday morning. My bad. Losing track of days, going crazy. All right, let me keep going with the box score review here, and then we're going to wrap things up, really lock in on tomorrow's game, and then I'll check comments. We'll talk about around the league trade deadline stuff. But it is getting late here, y'all. Thanks for hanging out. Late night, right on Rangers, baby. All right, we've got 3 for 5 for Wyatt Langford. Impressive. I thought he had a great game today, on base a lot. I really feel like Wyatt Langford's coming into his own. He did have a caught stealing, maybe his only blemish on the game, but 3 base hits, 250 average on the year. You love to see it. Subbed out of the game late for defensive purposes. Travis Jankowski came on late in this one. Dolly 0 for 5, did get an RBI on a chopper. Look, I think Dolly has looked better of late. Has he turned a corner completely? I don't think I'm ready to say that. I just don't. I don't think I'm ready to say that Dolly has turned a corner and suddenly he is going to be the same Dolly from last October. But I will say this, I think he is on the uptick and I hope that it continues. But 0 for 5 tonight. Did have an RBI. You put the ball in play, good things happen. Even if it doesn't look pretty, it shows up as one RBI in the box score. So good for Dolly putting the ball in play, even if it wasn't the most, you know, power, crazy hit or anything like that. So Dolly, 0 for 5, run scored, RBI. Nate Lowe, what can you say about this dude? We got to do a deep dive on Nathaniel Lowe right now. Nathaniel Lowe, over his last 7 games, 348 average, 500. On base percentage. 2 bombs, 7 RBI in his last 7 games. This always impresses me to no end when a guy has more walks than strikeouts in a certain period of time. Nate Lowe, last 7 games, 7 walks, 6 strikeouts. You know what that tells you? Dude is locked in up at the plate right now. And it showed today. Oppo home run, Nate Lowe. That is impressive. Nate Lowe, where has this power been all season long? I'm glad it's here now. Let's not dwell too much on the past. Nate Lowe was like power outage for the first 2 months of the season. Now he's got 9 bombs, 45 RBI, 272 average. Nate Lowe, I mean, easily, I think right now, top 3 hitter on this team the way he's going. I mean, right now, I'm not saying objectively the entire season, but if you just think about right now, the last week, 2 week stretch, he's a top 3 hitter for us. This dude is seeing the ball at a different level. 290 average over his last 30 games. 24 RBI in his last 30 games. I love what I'm seeing from Nate Lowe. 31 hits in his last 30. Great season. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. Look, I'm not going to sit around and pretend like I wasn't super hard on Nate Lowe when he was not going well. And it didn't look like he was going to be snapping out of whatever it was, whatever funk that he was going through at the beginning of the year. Y'all heard me say over and over again, if Nate Lowe can't start hitting for power, we have got to address the first base position. He's come around. He's proven a lot of people wrong. I hope he can keep doing this. What he's doing is impressive. And again, what impresses me more than anything about Nate Lowe is the eye, the plate vision, the discipline. It is at a different level right now, y'all. When you are walking more than you're striking out, that is when you know that you are on a heater. So I will say, Nate Lowe going like he's going, it bodes very well. Now, Josh Jung, he comes back in the lineup. Doley maybe continues that steady upward trajectory. This lineup looks really, really good all of a sudden. I don't want to jinx it. So y'all hearing this knock right now, I don't want to jinx it. But I love the prospect of what I'm seeing unfolding over the next couple of weeks with the Rangers getting fully healthy, both pitching-wise and lineup-wise. I think it could be a really fun August for the Rangers. I really do. Let me keep going here. Let me see. Let's go, Rangers. Cue the I Like Texas music. You know how it goes. Oh, my goodness. I am really, really glad the Rangers got a W. Much needed after that. Terrible. Let's just call it like it is. Complete butt kicking. I try to keep this PG, y'all. So you know what I want to say, but my goodness. Complete butt kicking in Toronto. Embarrassing. So I'm glad we got the win tonight. It was much needed. We had a little bit of tough luck in Toronto. The John Gray injury, I get it. The offense was still embarrassing in Toronto. Coming off a 5-game win streak, we needed this win. It says, what's your thought on Josh Smith in the leadoff spot? I think I kind of covered this. I don't know if you might have came in a little bit after it, or maybe I hit it while you were here. Either way, just a quick recap. I think Josh Smith is a one- or two-hole hitter by trade. I don't think Josh Smith is a guy you want three-hole long-term. I think this is perfect for him, and I'd rather have Marcus Semien protecting Corey Seager versus Josh Smith protecting Corey Seager. I think when you put it that way, the Simi move to the three-hole makes a ton of sense because a ton of teams are just going to walk Seags to get to Josh Smith. Doesn't matter how good of a season Josh Smith is having. He doesn't have the respect yet. And as much as we love Josh, as much as we love Josh Smith, when the pressure is turned up to its highest level late in the year, is he going to continue this? I would love to think yes. But it gets more and more difficult to be the three-hole hitter the deeper you get into the season. If you get into October, I want Simi protecting Corey Seager. If they can ride with this, I think they might have found a recipe here. I really do. I think for a while it was kind of one of those deals where it's like maybe Marcus has a thing with leading off. He's got to be the leadoff guy. That's where he's most comfortable. I threw that out there. I don't know why he would be mad about being the three-hole hitter. One of the most respected positions in a lineup, 2-3-4, I would say, probably have the most honor. Leadoff spot is up there as well. So I'm a fan of the move, and I love Nate Lowe too. By the way, if y'all don't subscribe to Jared Sandler's podcast, he just did an awesome podcast with Nate Lowe, and they just talked back and forth for like 45 minutes. So Jared Sandler, Nate Lowe, if you got a little free time, Right on Rangers isn't taking up all your spare time. Watch that podcast or listen to it. I don't think it was on video. Listen to that podcast. It's a great listen with Nate Lowe. Just a super down-to-earth, cool dude. I love Nate Lowe. The success that he's having, it couldn't happen to a better guy. Natalie says, I don't know if getting a long-term outfielder is a good idea with the Rangers drafting three. I know the Carter situation, but we will have other outfielders coming up where they play. You guys maybe have heard me talk about prospects. I am of the opinion, and it's different for every baseball fan. It's different. A lot of people really love and cling to prospects. I'm not as bullish on prospects as some people are. And what I mean by that is if you can go get a guy that you know can produce at the major league level, I'm probably more apt to trade a prospect than to see a prospect all the way through the system. If I can get a guy that's controllable that I know produces in Major League Baseball right now. So if I have to trade a prospect to get a guy like Luis Robert or even like a Randy Arozarena, who I know is good for 20 bombs and 80 homers every year, I'm going to take that over a prospect. I know that there are some baseball fans and baseball purists. They love the prospects, hold on to them, develop them. That can happen, but y'all got to know, prospects fail more often than they succeed. That's why they have so many freaking rounds in the Major League Draft. There are so many rounds in the Major League Draft. How many of those guys pop? It's not a lot. So as exciting as it is to look at what a guy has done in college, a guy like who we drafted, Dreiling. Sorry, guys, still haven't got the pronunciation down for him. Forgive me. Who knows if he's going to be good at the major league level? We'd like to think so. We'd like to think our first round draft pick is going to be good. Look, Wyatt Langford, clearly, he's a first round draft pick and he's popped for us. But I can show you a number of teams whose first round draft pick never worked out. So what I'm trying to say is I don't put all my eggs in, okay, we've got outfielders coming up, so let's not go get a guy that's already major league ready and controllable. If I can get Luis Robert, trade a couple prospects, and Luis Robert can produce for me right now and help me win a World Series, forget the prospects. Give me Luis Robert right now, and I'll take my chances on whether or not they panned out, the prospects did or not. That is my opinion on prospects, trading, holding on to them. It's not everybody's opinion. We may have to agree to disagree, but that's where I'm at. I would not want us to sit around on our hands because, oh, we just drafted, you know, a bunch of outfielders that are going to come up in a few years. You know, I don't think that's the right mentality. So I'm open to the Rangers trading some prospects if it means getting a quality bat that is controllable for the next 2-3 years, whatever the case may be. This suggestion, we should put Evan Carter in right field. I think they're going to try and play him in center, but I think they wanted him to be the center fielder eventually. I don't know, with all the back problems he's having, if you want him playing center. Center field is clearly the most taxing outfield position out of the three. I don't know if you want a guy with back issues playing center. So maybe he will end up at a corner spot. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens. Can I have your hat? I've got a ton of them, man, a ton of them. I'm on Fanatics like nonstop. I've got a ton of Rangers hats that I love. Excuse me, y'all. I got to plug in my phone for all y'all people on TikTok here. Somebody said on TikTok, trade Leody and Nate Lowe for Yandy Diaz. Man, I don't know if I love that trade or not. I'm not even going to lie to y'all. I don't know if I love trading Nate Lowe and Leody. I don't mind getting rid of Leody for Yandy. I don't know if I want to trade Nate Lowe, but I don't think the Rangers are trying to either, because Nate Lowe is controllable. So that would be a hard one. And Nate Lowe, such a great dude in the clubhouse. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to chew on that one. I'm going to have to really chew on that one. Somebody said Josh Hamilton coming back. Man, wouldn't that be crazy? Josh Hamilton, one of my favorite Rangers players of all time. Seriously. Hambone, man. That 2008, I still remember it. 2008 summer, Yankee Stadium home run derby. And Josh Hamilton should be a World Series legend for the Rangers. He should be a freaking World Series legend. My hardcore Rangers fans, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton hit a two-run bomb in Game 6 of the World Series against St. Louis in 2011 to go up in extra innings. Josh Hamilton should have been the most famous Rangers postseason legend in our franchise history if that two-run bomb in Game 6 holds. Josh Hamilton's already a Rangers legend, but it kills me that he does not have that moment that has enshrined him like forever in Rangers lore. I don't know. Don't get me started on the 2010, 2011 years. I could be here a while, but that's all to say. I love the Josh Hamilton shout out. 100%. All right, y'all. Let me keep going here. Down with comments. Let me see here. Toronto series was sad, no doubt. Definitely check out that Jared Sandler podcast tonight. Jared's awesome. Nate Lowe is awesome. You like Jared, you like Nate Lowe, you like listening to him, you're going to love that podcast that he did. Yeah, Jays and the Rays, they sold a number of players and like swept their series over the weekend. So I really feel like, the Jays, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year, obviously, but they're doing pretty well. I think that they fleeced Houston with the Kikuchi trade. They beat the Rangers 3 games straight while they were trading off players left and right. Jay's not doing too bad right now. And you didn't trade Vladdy. You've got prospects. Jay's, I think, had a nice little reload. I do agree. Jay's had a nice little reload, 100%. All right, y'all. Let me keep going. Somebody is trying to get me right now with this trade. With with this right here, you're not serious, are you? Don't do me like that. Don't play with my emotions right now. Says, yeah, no, not yet. If that did happen, y'all would see me go crazy right now on this podcast. If Vlad just got traded to Texas, y'all would see me go a little crazy. That would make me pumped out of my freaking mind. Vlad would be a huge get, but I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what the cost is going to be to get him. That would be insane. Whatever price they're asking for Vladimir Guerrero, my goodness. I mean, it's going to be a steal. It's going to be a haul, I should say. Steal isn't a great word. It's going to be a haul. Vlad Guerrero, that asking price has got to be through the roof. I can't see the Rangers getting him. If they did, wow, that would be incredible. All right, let me keep going. Should Wyatt end up playing center eventually? Yeah, I think that's going to be the move. Really hope that that does end up happening. I really do hope so. Who's behind me? Nobody. I don't even know what you're talking about. But what's up, Alex? Thanks for tuning in. What would I think? Tony, what are you saying here? I'm reading TikTok comments too, guys. No, I'm saying, what would you think if it happened? The trade. What would I think of that trade? Yandy Diaz for Nate Lowe and Leody. I wouldn't mind Leody getting traded, getting value. I wouldn't really want to see Nate Lowe leave because he's still controllable. And I don't know how much of an upgrade is Yandy over Nate Lowe. When Nate Lowe's playing like this, I don't know how big of an upgrade Yandy is. Now, can Yandy Diaz absolutely over 162 games outproduce Nate Lowe? Probably. I think it looks like, I'm looking at Yandy Diaz news, looks like the Yankees are really interested in Yandy Diaz. So Yandy actually has a lower batting average than Nate. Literally, Nate Lowe and Yandy Diaz's numbers are identical. Both have 9 home runs, both hitting about 270. I think Nate has 45 RBI, Yandy has 47. So I guess what I'm saying is I really don't know if Yandy is that big of an upgrade. Now, would you like to have Yandy as kind of a bench bat, like, not bench bat, but like a guy that you could maybe DH. Then if you get Yandy, you kind of have to think about Josh Smith in the outfield, which I think we talked about this. Josh Smith has like 33 major league games in the outfield and left field. And I think he has like 55 in his entire professional playing career. So I don't know if Josh Smith to the outfield is super ideal, but at some point you are going to have to start getting rid of some guys that are on the major league team right now. You've got Zeke Duran on the bench. You've got Leody, who's probably going to be on the bench. I'm not so sure if we go out and get a bat, we're not going to have to get rid of somebody that is on the bench right now for us at the major league level. But interesting that Yandy's numbers are pretty much exactly like Nate Lowe's at this point. So, shoot, we'll see. I didn't even realize that. Makes me a little bit less apt to pay the price for Yandy. I'd imagine we're still in on him to an extent, but Yankees are apparently the big name right now for Yandy. Let me see here. Yeah, I've heard about this Josh Hamilton controversy. You know, look, I don't think you're saying Josh Hamilton's like a bad dude or anything. I do think he probably feels really terrible about it. I can't imagine going through something like that myself. Real quick, and let's not be a downer on the show, but if you don't know or don't get the reference, Josh Hamilton was trying to throw a ball to a fan. Fan reached over the railing trying to get it, fell to his death. Super sad, unfortunate. And I'm sure Josh feels horrible about it. Can't imagine you get over something like that super easily. But I will say, I can't imagine that Josh Hamilton is going to be defined by something like that. I know he's got so many amazing memories for the Rangers. That was a really sad one. Well, let's pick it back up. We got to get the vibes back up here. Any chance, do I know the 2021 Texas Ranger and former Boston Red Sox only ever postseason cycle, Brock Holt? That's cool. Oh, I remember Brock Holt for sure. Great utility player for the Rangers. Absolutely. Brock Holt, I wonder what he's doing right now. Is he out of baseball? I love going through thinking about these Rangers players of the past, like a little bit deep cut style Rangers players, if you know what I mean. 100%. Yeah, Taco is totally messing with us right now. Vlad, if Vlad got traded, he would be, that my phone would be blowing up right now because I have like every Rangers reporter, they would be reporting it. So yeah, Taco's messing with us right now. Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort, Taco. I really think they should trade Duran. I'm a little bit confused by the call-up and him being in the lineup today. I figured 5 homers in 6 games, stock's at an all-time high for Duran. Trade the stock while it's at its highest point. Maybe they're going to hold on to him. He's blocked at literally every position that he could play. They just want him to be eternal bench guy. I mean, that seems dumb to me, but I don't get paid the big bucks. I don't. So maybe we'll see. No, you're all good, but I wasn't trying to get on you or anything. I remember that whole scene vividly with Hamilton and the fan. So no, don't take it as me getting on you or anything like that. It was a super, super unfortunate incident, 100%. Let me keep going here. I'm going to try and just go through. Got some people being a little random in the chat. I got to sift through some of that stuff, y'all. We got to keep this moving. Yeah, he's been retired for 2 years now, I think, talking about Brock Holt. Duran has done well in MLB The Show. Yeah, I can hit bombs with Zeke Duran in MLB The Show. I posted a video, I think it was when we were playing the A's and we lost to the A's at home when Shea Langeliers was like crushing us left and right. And yeah, I'll tell you what, Zeke Duran, I can hit some bombs with him in MLB The Show, no doubt. Let me keep going here, guys. Let's put a bow on tonight's game. So beyond the lineup, pitching tonight was pristine. Evo, we talked about him. Only 2 Ks, a little uncharacteristic for Evo, only 2 strikeouts, but no walks. I think that's a huge number. Robertson, Spores, Yates. There's your 1-2-3 punch right there. Robertson, Spores, Yates. Go 3 innings, 1 hit, 3 Ks, no walks. That is a dominating 7-8-9 lineup right now. Robertson, Spores, Yates. I mean, look, Yates is going to have the save spot, but look, in any order, Spores in the 7th, Robertson in the 8th, or vice versa. So I say the bullpen, got to give them major props. Marcus Semien had a great play out at second base, little double play on a line drive. Love to see that. And beyond that, I don't think there's a whole lot else that I am going to be harping on for today's game, unless y'all got anything. But let's dig in a little bit to what's going on for tomorrow. So we talked about it. Rangers are going to be facing former Ranger Lance Lynn, fastball pitcher. We'll see if the Rangers can have some luck against their former teammate for some of them. I don't know if he, at this point, some of these guys have played with Lynn, but there's a few, I believe, that were teammates with him back in the COVID year and in 2021 as well. But Lance Lynn, right now for the Cardinals, not having like a bad season, but not having a good season. That's kind of how I feel as I look at some of Lance Lynn's numbers. Lance Lynn getting the start tomorrow against the Rangers, which this game will happen right after the trade deadline. So this team could look a lot different when we see him tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe not. I can't imagine it's going to look a ton different, but we'll see what happens. But Lance Lynn, 4.17 ERA on the year, 5-4. So Lance Lynn, like a very solid 4th, 5th starter right now. 4.17 ERA, you'll take that from a guy as your 4th or 5th. We talked about Simi having some good numbers against Lynn. We talked about Grossman, who's probably not going to play tomorrow, having some decent numbers. By and large, though, it's a small sample size. Nate Lowe, 2-for-6. On the other side, Arenado, 188 average and 16 at-bats against Scherzer. Carlson, the right fielder, 154. Carpenter, who hit a home run tonight for the Cardinals, 242. Contreras, the catcher, 200 average. These are all double-digit ABs, by the way. Crawford, who I don't think is a full-time starter or anything, 333 in 18 at-bats. Donovan, 0-for-2. Goldschmidt is 184 versus Scherzer in 38 at-bats. So look, Scherzer appears to have pretty good numbers against all these Cardinals. So I think this could be a good game to get a series win. Obviously, Max isn't quite the pitcher that he was in all of these at-bats, but I think it does say something when you go in knowing that you've had success off of guys in the past. So I would imagine Max is going to have a good game tomorrow. Hopefully the Rangers can seal up a series win. And that is tomorrow's game, which starts at same time as tonight, 6:45. Let me keep going here. Tony says on TikTok, he doesn't see Lowe holding up, which look, I'm skeptical of as well. I think I just like Nate Lowe so much that I really want to think that he can hold up over the course of the season, but I'm not going to knock you for thinking potentially Nate Lowe isn't going to sustain the success. Nate Lowe can be streaky. I was hoping for Pete Alonso, but the Mets are on a heater. I was hoping for Pete too. That right-handed power first baseman bat, 100%. Tony also says Smith, Duran, and Foscue are definitely getting traded if we get a defined hitter in return. Smith, I don't know if they're going to trade him, Tony. I really don't think so. Duran and Foscue, I could definitely see them trading. Foscue actually on MLB.com was a big name that MLB.com, for what it's worth, mentioned was maybe going to be traded. Justin Foscue, maybe you trade Foscue, you trade Duran. Maybe there's a couple of other guys you could throw in there, and you could go get a good bat. I think a lot of teams would be interested in Foscue, a first-round pick from 2020. Duran, a guy that's got major league experience, can play multiple positions. I think it's there for the taking. It's just going to be whether or not teams are willing to bite. You know, sometimes certain teams don't like certain players that you have, and vice versa. You know, sometimes it works out and it's a perfect fit. One team thinks Zeke Duran, Justin Foscue, and a couple other guys is an amazing deal. Then there's another team that thinks, meh. So we'll see what happens. Can I name a baseball player for an edict? Do Corey Seager. Corey Seager all day long. Lance Lynn. I think Max is probably a little ahead of Lynn, despite the ages and all that. I would probably rather have Scherzer right now for this season than Lance Lynn. That's just me. What are my thoughts on Dave Raymond? Don't mind him. I'm a Josh Lewin fan. If you remember when Josh Lewin did Rangers broadcast for Fox Sports Southwest before it became Bally, I love Josh Lewin. I really enjoyed his broadcasting. But that was when I was like all my formative years, like high school, college, Josh Lewin. So look, I don't mind Raymond. It's not CJ anymore. It's Mike Baksik a lot, right? And David Murphy. CJ actually went to the Braves. I love CJ, but I really, really liked it when it was Josh Lewin and Tom Grieve. That was just a classic combo for me, but by no means do I dislike what they have now on the TV broadcast. That being said, most of the time I listen to Hicks and Sanford on MLB TV. You can sync it up with radio. So a lot of the times I listen to the radio broadcast while I watch the game, which is incredible. I'm so glad they enabled that feature on MLB TV whenever it was a year or two ago, a few years ago. I love listening to the radio guys while I watch the game, and MLB TV allows you to do that. It's awesome. Definitely love the old stadium better than Globe Life Field. The only thing I like better at Globe Life Field is that it's air conditioned and you're not like drenched in sweat after a ball game. So I really do like the old stadium better. I just love the brick, the layout, the look, ton of memories at the old ballpark, but Globe Life is very nice. I'm not trying to knock it like it's a bad stadium. Globe Life is very, very nice. I just love the look, the aesthetic of the old stadium. I think it's great. And again, ton of good memories there. I did the playoffs in 2010 there, and in 2011, it was great. I went to the Yankees series in 2010. So look, I definitely love the old Globe Life better, but the new stadium is amazing. It's a great place to take in a game too. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. All right, let me go to TikTok here, and then we are going to do ALS Roundup. It says Rangers will... I got to sift out some of these trolling comments. Somebody says Rangers will never win a World Series again. Okay. Are the Rangers selling? Don't think so. Who's a lock tomorrow? Again, my picks are, of course, the Rangers win. If you like individual player props, Marcus Semien. Take a look at his player props. He's got good numbers against Lance Lynn. All right, we talked about the Astros. They lost to the Pirates today. Paul Skeens was pitching. It was a 2-2 game going into the ninth inning. Pirates hit a 3-run bomb off Josh Hader to win the game. That final was 5-3. Huge win for the Pirates that really helped out the Rangers. And I think now we can see that it was right for Josh Hader to get left on the table by CY in the front office. Josh Hader got paid over $100 million by the Astros, and he has had good numbers with the strikeout. But if I go right now and look at what he's done, he's blown a number of saves. He's got multiple losses from blowing a game when it's tied. And Hader right now has a 4.11 ERA. Go ahead and compare that to Kirby Yates, why don't you? Put Kirby Yates and Hader side by side. What's scary is that Kirby Yates is having a better season right now. A little bit less strikeouts, but Kirby Yates by far having a better season than Hader. Hader, 6 losses, has blown a number of saves. What a great pass by CY. What a great fold. Because we were in on Josh Hader, and that would have been like a noose around your neck type contract for the Rangers. Over $100 million for Hader. I don't know. So I really think that was the best move there. Beyond that, we've got the Mariners dropping a game to the Red Sox. The Red Sox looks like won by a final score of 14-7. Okay. So helpful losses from the Mariners and the Astros. Rangers are now 3.5 games out in the division. And we have got, I think, a wild card deficit of 6 games, something like that. 6 games. Perfect. So look, better chance to win the division. Outside shot at wild card, but I'm putting my eggs in the division basket at this point. Rangers can very much still win that division. So we'll see what happens. I don't have a whole lot else to go through. Headlines, there's going to be a ton, y'all. I already went through some of the trades. We got Soler going back to the Braves. Kikuchi to the Astros. Overpay, in my opinion. Dodgers added Edman, Kopech from the White Sox, and Rosario as well. Dodgers added. So, look, Dodgers are going for it this year again. Frankie Montas going to the Brewers from the Reds. A lot of trade moves. Tomorrow's probably going to be a crazy day, y'all. It'll be a fun live tomorrow night. I got to get going, though. It has been a long live tonight. I appreciate y'all hanging out. But we have got to go get ready for the day tomorrow. Like I said, going to be a wild one with the trade deadline at 5 p.m. Central Time right before the Rangers game against the Cardinals. So I'm going to start signing off. I want to say I appreciate all of you guys tuning in today. Really thankful for the support. Again, if you're not following, you're not subscribed, please do so. It'll help me out in my challenge, betting 1 cent on Rangers Moneyline for every follower. In games like today, we pick up some nice change, but you can keep up with every time we go live if you're following or if you're subscribed to the channel, and you can keep up with all of our latest and greatest content. We put out shorts, reels nearly every day. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers or loves baseball in general, please tell them about the channel. Tell them about the account. Share one of my videos with them. I would be very, very grateful. Last comment here. Arozarena, like it. I think it's a good move for the Mariners, but I don't think that it's going to put them over the top in the AL West or for a World Series ring or anything like that. Now, adding Turner helps too. I think they've got a few too many injuries right now. Julio Rodriguez out. I think they've got to get a little bit healthier. We'll see what happens. But league worst batting average for the Mariners. I'm not bullish on Seattle, but then again, I am a little biased. This is, after all, right on Rangers. So, all right, y'all. Thank you so much again. Hope y'all have a good rest of your Monday night. We'll see you tomorrow post-game after the Rangers get another win over the Cardinals, hopefully. But have a good one and a good day tomorrow. And as I always say to end every show, God bless. Go Rangers. Have a good night, y'all. Bye now.